on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Entering. Exit tones are off. All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Praise the Lord. I'm just talking, people of God, and I just realized that my phone was on mute. Amen. But God bless you tonight. We thank God for you. We thank God for you on tonight. We're grateful to be here again here at the Prayer News Network Global. And we thank God for you. We thank God for you, you and you for coming out to be with us tonight. We are indeed grateful. Amen. We pray that you've had a blessed day in the Lord on today. We just give God thanks. We just give God praise for life. How many just give God praise for life? Life and that more abundantly. Amen. Glory to God. We just give God thanks for life on tonight and this reasonable portion of health and strength that he's given to each of us. And we just give God thanks. We just give God praise again. People of God, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be alive. It's yet another day that the Lord has kept us. And again, we want to thank God for all of our listeners. We want to thank God for all of our international listeners, wherever you're listening from. We thank God for you on tonight. We bless God for you on tonight. We, as always, we realize you could have been so many other places, but people of God, you have elected to be here with us. And for this, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Thank you for your listening ear. Thank you for your listening spirit coming to hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So we bless God tonight for all of our listeners that are here in the state. Listen, people of God, we just want to admonish you to go ahead and invite some people to come in, invite a couple of people to come in and be with us on tonight. Invite them to come on in and be with us on tonight here on this beautiful Sabbath Eve. Amen. As of 6 o'clock, we entered into the Sabbath. Amen. And it's that time of reflection, just slowing it down and giving God thanks and praise for all that he's done over the course of this whole week, over the course of this whole day. People of God, that's what we do. Amen. That's what we do. And we're so grateful for this Sabbath on tonight. Amen, Jesus. It's been a long week. Amen. Glory to God, it has indeed been a long week, and I don't know about you, people of God, but I've been at conferences, and I tell you, it has been a very, very long week, but we thank God that we can slow it down, just slow it down a little bit, amen? So we bless God on tonight. We thank God, amen. We thank him. Glory be to God with him. We thank him, amen, for truly, people of God, had it not been the Lord on our side, where would we be? We don't know where we will be. Amen. But we just bless God. We thank God. Amen. For, again, as I stated, it is another day. It's another day that the Lord has kept us. Amen. Glory be to God. And again, we thank God for you, and you, for coming on out to be with us on tonight. People of God, and we're not going to hold you long. Amen, Jesus. But, amen, as you know, this is our teaching night, and we just thank God for, amen, the man of God that comes to be with us, amen, who has given himself to come and be with us, people of God, here on the Prayer News Network Global. We thank God for him. Amen. We thank God for his sacrifice. His sacrifice, amen, that he has made to come and be with us, to come and bless the people of God. Amen. Glory to God, to come and bless the people of God. Amen. So for this, we're grateful. For this, we're so grateful. Amen, Jesus. So very grateful for him. Amen, Jesus. Just to come and just be a blessing to the people of God. People of God, while you are getting prepared, amen, Jesus.
The recording has started.
While you're getting prepared, getting your pencil and paper and pen and whatever else you need to get ready for tonight, we just want to thank God for our leaders. I thank God for all of our leaders. Thanking him for, amen, Jesus, our senior apostle on tonight, Dr. Samuel Huggins James. Thanking him for our presiding bishop, Dr. K.A. Tina. Thanking God on tonight as well, my pastor, amen, Dr. Tina. And we just bless God. We just thank God, amen, for our leaders. I want to thank God for our PNN advisors, each and every one of them, amen, just giving God thanks and giving God praise for them on tonight, amen. Thanking God for all of the awesome speakers that come to be a part of this work. We just bless God. We just thank God for each and every one of them. Thanking God for you all, people of God. Thanking God for our scripture reader on tonight. Thanking him for our prayer warrior on tonight. Amen, Jesus. We just bless the Lord. Amen. We just bless the Lord for you, you, and you, and you, and you. We bless God for you on tonight. Amen. Again, we want to ask you to go ahead and invite a couple of people to be in on tonight. Amen. Come, come, come. Tell them, come. Praise the Lord, people of God. Looks like we dropped off the line momentarily. Amen. So we just give God thanks again. We give God praise. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for letting us know. Amen, Jesus. We just kind of lost connections there briefly. But people of God, we want you to go ahead and get your hearts and your minds ready on tonight. Amen. To hear what thus saith the Lord. As I first stated, we're going to sanctify the line. And then immediately after that, amen, we have our scripture reading by, amen, Sister Mary Hollins. And then after that, people of God, we're going to bring forth God's messenger for tonight, amen, to come to break the bread of life unto us. Amen. Glory be to God. And that is none other than Minister Craig Cannon coming to us by way of Applied Word Ministries there in Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. It will certainly be in that order. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory to God. So if you will, amen, look unto the Lord with me on tonight. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just a little melody. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer
will be, yes, Lord, yes. And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. And when your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, sir. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory, Lord, revive us, again. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How great thou art. How great thou art. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we bless you today. We thank you. We give you praise. Father, we honor, we glorify you, O God. We've come to glorify you, O God. We come with a praise in our hearts and a praise in our minds on today. Praise in our spirit, O God. We come to lift you up. We come to bless you tonight. We come to magnify you. Oh, God, we come to glorify your precious name. In thy precious name, Jesus. Father, we come on tonight, glory to God, even as men is with unclean lips on tonight. But, Father, we're asking that you will forgive us now. We ask, oh, God, that you will sanctify us, cleanse us, purge us, oh, God, and purify us, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, we're asking that you will sanctify us. Father, we're asking that you sanctify us through and through. Father, we're asking that you touch our minds, touch our hearts, touch our spirit, oh God. Father, touch our souls on today, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, for we come unto you, oh God, for there's no other name whereby men can be saved. Oh God, but at thy precious name, Jesus. Father, we come humbly today. Oh, God, unto your throne, God, we're humbling ourselves. Oh, God, bowing down ourselves at your throne of grace. In that precious name of Jesus, asking that you would have mercy on today. Father, we're asking that you would have mercy upon each and every one of us. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, but we come on today, oh, God, asking you, glory to God, hallelujah, that you will move today. Father, asking that you will move on this line. Move, oh, God, upon your people. Move, glory to God, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we're asking that you move today. Move, oh God, as only you can. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, oh God, we're asking that you breathe upon us afresh. Father, breathe upon us afresh, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, we're asking that you breathe, oh God. Father, move and breathe in our situations and in circumstances, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, for we're coming unto you, looking unto you. For you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And for this we give you thank you. For this we give you praise. Father, we're thanking you on tonight. Glory to God. We're thanking you this night, oh God, hiya, in the name of Jesus. Father, we're thanking you on tonight for life, and that more abundantly. We thank you on tonight, glory to God, for a reasonable portion of strength. And we thank you for it on tonight in thy precious name, Jesus. Father, for we're coming on tonight yielded. We're coming yielded and still in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we're asking that you have your way tonight. Father, send forth your word. Send forth your word in power. And in demonstration, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we're asking that you would bless. Father, we're asking that you would bless now and touch your messenger tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Father, touch tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we're asking tonight, oh God, in uncommon ways. We're asking that you move for your people. Move, oh God, in the isles and the sea. Father, move in the east, in the west, in the north, and in the south. Father, we're asking that you move tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we're asking you tonight to send forth your word. Father, send forth your word on tonight. Send forth your word on tonight. Father, we're asking that you have your way. Have your way in the midst of us, we pray. Have your way in the midst of us, we pray. Father, and for this, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We're asking, oh God, that you would hide us behind your precious cross. Father, we ask that you would cover us in your shed blood. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Father, and for this, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Your word calls us, oh God, to apply your word, oh God, in our lives, that we might not sin against thee, but that you would get the glory and that you would get the praise in thy precious name, Jesus. We pray. Glory to God. We're asking that you hide us, oh God, behind your cross. Cover us and shield us, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let every heart on tonight say amen. Glory to God. Amen on tonight. Glory to God.
I'm giving honor to God, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Ashley Bradley, to the speaker for tonight, to the PNN advisors, to the PNN prayer wars, and to you, all of our listeners near and far. Scripture reading will be coming from the 6th chapter of Micah, the 1st through the 8th verse. Hear ye now what the Lord said. Arise, contend thou before the mountain, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountain, the Lord controversy, and ye strong foundation of the earth. For the Lord had a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land and redeemed thee out of the house of service. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Sidon unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and by myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. I have read to you Micah, the 6th chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse. May God have a blessing to the reading, the hearers, and the doers of his holy word.
Praise God. Thank you, sister. Praise God. Praise God for just another opportunity, you all, just to come into the presence of the Almighty. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the great I am. Thank you that you are above all. Thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins.
Muted.
Thank you, Lord, so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Lord, for the breath of life. Thank you for the opportunity to see another day. to breathe, to inhale your presence and exhale your power. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who's here with us right now on the inside of us, who's been sent to teach us and to lead and to guide us into all truth, the whole truth and the full truth, to speak whatever he hears you say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for creating all the heaven and the earth, the universe, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for just your love and your mercy upon us. Only you could do that for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We're so grateful and thankful that you are our God, that you are the one true and living God. You're the great I am. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and your mercy endures forever. You brought Israel out of Egypt with a strong hand and a stretched out arm, for your mercy endure forever. We bless your name, Lord God. We bless the Lord, O our soul, and all that is within us. We bless your holy name. We bless the Lord, O our soul, for we forget not all your benefits, Lord. You forgiveth all our iniquities. You healeth all our diseases. You redeemed our life from destruction. You crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And we thank you, Father. We're so grateful for everything that you've done, Lord God, everything. We give you praise and glory and honor. And Father, thank you for just another opportunity tonight to minister. Thank you, Lord God, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted, and unhindered by any evil, satanic, or demonic force. Father, thank you that you will speak through my vocal cords and you will think through my mind, and it will be none of me but all of you. For I'm but a vessel to be used, meet for the master's use. And that's as we all are, Lord God. We give you praise for it now in Jesus' precious, mighty, and holy name. And Father, anoint the eyes to see and anoint the ears to hear and open up the hearts of each of those on this line tonight that they may receive the engrafted word of God and that they not only will receive it, but will use it and will apply it to their life and learn and know and understand that you are real and that their life will never, ever be the same again. We give you praise and glory and honor for it, Father. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' precious, mighty, and holy name, amen. Well, people of God, thank you for another opportunity tonight to come before you. We camped out in Genesis last week, and we're going to pick right up where we left off. We learned a lot of things about God. One of the key points I think you should take away is that God is not like us. We're made in his image. He's not made in ours. God is other. God is alien. God is different. God created us. We didn't create him. And once we learn and begin to understand who God is, we'll have a holy reverence for who he is because we'll realize he's the all-powerful, all-knowing, everlasting, all-wise, great I am, who declared the end from the beginning. He knows the future. He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. He knows everything. There's no situation or circumstance that any of you all are in right now at this very moment that God is not aware of. He knows exactly how you got in it, and he knows exactly what it takes to bring you out of it. And you've got to trust in him alone because only he knows. And the way you fight battles is not with your fist and your mouth, but you fight it on your knees through prayer. You take it before the Almighty, the one who holds the heart of the king in his hand and can turn it to and fro. You take it before him, and you let him deal with it, and you keep your heart clear of the matter. You say, Father, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is the way it is. I don't even like it, but I know you know. And nevertheless, I'm going to submit this over to you, and I'm going to rest and trust that you will take care of it because you love me unconditionally. And you pray that prayer and you sign it in Jesus' name. Sign that prayer within Jesus' name. Because Jesus said in his word, when you come before the Father, don't ask him anything. Just come, you go before the Father in his name. The only way to the Father is through the Son. So when you pray before God, you've got to sign that prayer in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Because we can go before the judge on behalf of our, I would say, Jesus being a defense attorney for us. He's the one who defends us, and Satan is the one who accuses us, and God is the one who judges us. Don't ever forget that. See, everything is in the Word of God. Even a courtroom is just like that. Satan's the prosecutor, Jesus is the defense attorney, and God is the judge. Get a picture of that. And if you're the one on trial, the blood has already paid the price. You're innocent not because of you. You're innocent because of the blood of Jesus. And he's seated on the right hand of God right now in heaven, interceding on your behalf because you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Praise God. Genesis. Let's go to Genesis. We stopped in Genesis chapter 3, and I think we're going to pick up on verse 14. We had just learned everything that in Genesis. We talked about who God is, and we learned that God allowed Adam to name everything. We also learned that God created Adam. God created Eve from Adam. We know that as well. And so Adam has now a wife, and he calls that wife Eve. And they were walking in the cool of the day with God, just enjoying themselves, and this serpent came up to Eve and tricked her into taking a bite of a fruit from the tree that God had told them not to eat from. But God had told them in the day they eat of that tree, they will surely die. And we learned that that word death means to separate from. But it never means non-existence. We will always exist somewhere in one form or another. We're going to exist somewhere. Even when a person dies, their spirit and their soul goes to the location based on the decision they made when they was in this body on this earth. But their body goes back to the dust of the earth from which it was made. So they exist, but they're going to exist based on the decision that they made while they were on the earth. Either they accepted Christ or they rejected Christ. And we said earlier, the only way to the Father is through the Son. So that is what happens at death. Verse 14, chapter 3 of Genesis. And the Lord God said unto the serpent. Now here's the serpent that tricked Eve. Now what has happened? Eve has eaten from the fruit. She's given it to Adam. He has eaten from the fruit. And now they're hiding from God. Suddenly they wanted to hide from God right after they sin. Isn't that interesting? That's what we do. When we sin, we don't want to go to church. We don't want to go near no Bible. We don't even want to go near somebody talking about God. We get as far away from them as we possibly can because we know we have done something wrong. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They knew what they had done. They tried to hide from God. Now think about that. They tried to hide from God. Get a picture of that. He created them. He created all of us. We can't hide from God. We can't even hide in the dark from God. God can see in the dark. We can't hide in the booth, in the back, in the corner. God sees that too. God sees everything. Get a picture of that. Get that. God sees all. God sees all. That should shake the slack out of you. Even when you think he ain't looking, he sees it. Even when you think you got away with it, he saw it. God sees all, but they were hiding. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden, and they hid themselves from God's presence. And God called out to them and said, where are you? Now, it's not like God don't know where they're at because God knows everything. Where are you? I'm looking for you.
Where y'all at? Said, I heard thy voice in the garden. Who said that? Adam. Verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Fear had already entered into their heart after they sinned against God. Look at that. You sin against God, fear comes into your heart. You get scared. You don't sin against God, you ain't scared of nothing. But the moment you sin against God, you're afraid. Adam said, I was afraid. Same pattern today. When we sin against God, we get scared. That's why we run from the church. That's why we run from people who know God. We don't have nothing to do with it because we know what we've done. Our conscience is just getting to us. Most importantly, we're afraid of God because we know we've done wrong. I was afraid because I was naked. How do you know he's naked? Some kind of knowledge must have came in through that fruit, right? Remember, that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there you go. The knowledge that he was naked came in, and all of a sudden, he's hiding because he's naked. Now, you want to hide from God who created you because you're naked? Doesn't even make common sense. When God created you, he was naked. It's just like a baby when a baby's born. They're birthed into this world naked. So all of a sudden, he wants to hide from God because he's naked. They do. And I hid myself. Told you was naked. Now, mind you, God is entertaining this conversation. He already know what has happened. There's nothing hidden from him. He saw him when he took the fruit and ate it. He saw it. And, you know, Adam says, yep, I took the fruit. I ate it. I commanded thee not that not. He says, did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? And the man said, the woman gave it to me. Here's the catch we said last week. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Instead of Adam saying, yep, I ate it, you know, it's my fault. First thing he said, the woman gave it to me. So it's her fault. The woman whom you gave me, God, to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Almost a little dart at God. Like, the woman whom you gave, he could have just said, the woman gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it. But he had to throw that in. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Almost like he's kind of blaming God. If you want to put this woman here, God, this never would have happened. You know what I mean? Think about it. That's exactly what he's kind of saying in a roundabout way. And the Lord God said unto the woman. So God says, okay. I see. All right. I hear what you're saying. So now let me ask the woman what happened. Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, watch this. The serpent tricked me. And I did eat. Nobody's taking responsibility. Same way today. The woman could have said, you know what? Yeah, I ate from the tree. I messed around and had a conversation with that serpent over there, and I shouldn't have even been talking to him. I don't even know why I even had a conversation. The moment he raised doubt in my mind, I should have just cut that conversation off right there. No, God said don't eat of the tree. I don't care what you say. God said don't eat of the tree, and I'm not going to eat of it. Now, leave me alone and get away from me. But instead, she entertained the thought and had the conversation, and the conversation went deeper to the point where he had planted a seed on the inside of her mind. That's the way it works today. Nothing's different. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says that. Nothing's different. That's the same way we get tricked and beguiled today. Somebody got to plant a seed in our mind to make us raise doubt of something we know that is true. We know it's true. I'm going to give you guys an example. Some of y'all are at a job. Now, I've been at jobs before in the past, and I'm going to give this quick example. The job was a good job, but it was kind of a controlling job. Some of you all right now are at jobs where you know certain things are right, but the people around you have raised so much doubt in your mind, you're even doubting yourself. And you know, but you're doubting yourself. That's what Satan did. He got her to doubt. That's the way you get tricked. You get the doubt. That old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, that is so true. If you're not going to stand for in what you know, what God has entrusted to you, understand this. If you've accepted Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You've got all the power you need to overcome anything living on the inside of you. All you got to do is just trust it. You know, Holy Spirit has you do something and somebody come and raise them doubt, well, don't worry about that. I'm doing this because this is the way you do it. Confidently, even if you don't know, because you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You've got the trust of God in you, for those of you who have accepted Christ. Now, if you haven't accepted Christ, you trust in you. You ain't trusting the God in you. You trust in you because the Spirit of God ain't in you yet. So you've got to trust the God in you and do it right. So let's keep going. Verse 14, the Lord God said, now comes the punishment. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. The God said unto this serpent, you're cursed above every animal out there, all the cattle and every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. So that's the punishment for the serpent. See? He's going to eat dust all the days of his life. He's going to crawl on his belly. He's going to be the lowest animal of any animal out there that has ever been created. He's the lowest, the serpent. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, a lot of people believe that serpent is a snake because they say it crawls on his belly. I don't know exactly what this serpent is, but it does sound similar to a snake. So let's just say, for sakes, it is a snake. You wonder why most women are afraid of snakes. You wonder why most women are afraid of snakes. There's a God just told you there's a tussle between a woman and snakes now. You know, she's afraid of him, and that snake is going to try to bruise her heel, and she's terrified of it. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle of the field. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That means generational. Her seed meaning her children, her children's children's children. His seed meaning his children's children, the serpent's children's children. This thing is going to be ongoing, what God said. This is a curse that I placed on you because of this that's ongoing between her seed and your seed. His seed, now watch this, between her seed and your seed. Now, children are born, right, whether they are or of an animal or of a human. You know, you can say chicken hatch from eggs still. There's a birthing process going on. Look at this. There's a birthing process going on between her seed and your seed. Keep that in mind. And upon the woman, he says, between her seed and your seed. So he's dealing with the birthing process. I want you to keep that in mind. See, here's a pattern you're going to see here. Verse 16. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Once again, birthing process. The word conception. Hopefully you all are seeing that. The birthing process. Seed, conception. Those are birthing words here. You see, we dealt with the woman, seed. Now we're dealing with conception. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Ah, birthing process. And you wonder why when a woman get ready to have children, that's one of the hardest things they have to go through. Here's why. God just told you in his word. This is why they go through it. It's so hard for when a woman have children. Some women say, you know what, that I don't know if I want to have any more kids because that was so tough for me. That was just extremely difficult. I mean, you're birthing another human out of your body. Because men don't know nothing about that. But women know exactly what I'm talking about. Those who have had kids, they know exactly what I'm talking about. It can be excruciating, painful. I know when my wife got ready to have my daughter, she was trying to avoid this thing called an epidermal. I think an epidermal is something to try to help numb the pain when you're trying to have a child. But that pain was so excruciating. It was so excruciating. Some women get the epidermal. Like I think they give a shot to them or something just to numb the pain. That's how painful it is. So unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy conception. See how you can bring the word into reality? Because really, the word is reality. The word created everything. including what we consider reality, that was created by the word. So everything you're looking for can be found in this one book. And this book is alive. It's not like all these other books out here that are dead. This book is alive. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Look at that. So it's ingrained in a woman to have a desire for her husband. It's ingrained in a woman that she's going to have sorrow in the birthing process because God placed it there as a punishment for her disobedience to what he asked them to do. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. It's right here in this word. You're going to have a strong desire for your husband, and he's going to be the one ruling over you. Doesn't mean that God is saying he's any better. God just said he's going to rule over you. This is a part of your punishment. You're going to have a tough time when you're giving birth, and you're going to desire your husband, and he's going to rule over you. Same thing she said to the serpent. Your seed and her seed, they're going to be at enmity. They're going to have a problem with each other for generations. For generations. You're going to try to bite her heel, and he's going to bruise your head, which means it's killing you, trying to chop your head off. That's why the first way you kill a snake is you chop the head off. But everything goes back to the birthing process. Let's keep going. Now let's see how he's going to tie this into Adam. Y'all see the pattern? Look at this pattern here. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened, that means you heard and you obeyed. The word hearken means to hear and obey. Because thou hast heard and obeyed unto the voice of thy wife. Wait a minute, instead of my voice, you're listening to your wife. You heard her and you obeyed your wife. Even though you know I told you not to eat from that tree, you obeyed her instead of obeying me. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying thou shalt not eat of it, is the ground for thy sake. Okay. I'm hoping you guys see what I see. Now, we saw the birthing process with the serpent. We see the birthing process with the woman. But remember, Adam wasn't necessarily born. He was created. But what was Adam created from? The dust of the earth. The dust of the earth, in this case, is the ground. Adam was created from the ground. So his birthing process is really like creation. He was created from the ground. This is what brought him into being. Remember, Eve came out of Adam. All right, Eve came out of Adam. God gave him some anesthesia. He went to sleep. God went in there and did surgery, took out one of his ribs, and he made Eve from that rib. So Adam back up. He made Eve from that rib. See? So Eve was kind of like a birth. She was kind of like birthed from Adam in a sense, but not in the way that we think. But she came out of Adam, and God made her from a rib. So that was her birthing process. But Adam was made from the ground. That was his birthing process. So now God says, where's the curse? The curse is going toward the birthing process again. God cursed the ground. Why? Because that's where Adam came from. That's where Adam came from. So for thy sake, verse 17, and Adam said, and he said, because you hearken unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. God cursing the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return. Underline that, till thou return unto the ground. I just told you all what happens in death. The body goes back to the earth, the dust of the earth from which it was made. Now, when God cursed the ground because of Adam's disobedience, he's saying it's like a farmer. They have to work real hard to make that ground produce. They got to go out there and plow the field. They got to break up the ground. They got to put the seeds in there. They got to put fertilizer in there. Then they got to water it, and then they got to wait to see until that leaf pops through the ground. Last week I gave you guys an example of what happens underground with the seed, how it grows down before it grows up. The part that you don't see, because we can't look underground, when we plant that seed and we water it and fertilize it, it starts growing downward. But we don't see nothing popping up through the ground, so we don't think nothing's happening. But something is happening on the other side of that ground. And what God wanted to share with you in reference to that is when you pray your prayers to him, it's like you planted a seed. But don't think because you're not seeing anything happening that nothing is happening. There is something happening. God hears your prayers the very day you pray it. And in the book of Daniel, there's an example of that. There's an example of that. When Daniel prayed, and it took 21 days before his answer came from an angel. And when the angel came and saw him, he said, look, God heard your prayers the first day you prayed it. But he got into the heavenlies fighting against one of those wicked spirits in heavenly places. So he was in a fight there, being held up before he could get to the earth. A lot of you all, this is all in the Bible. That's why you got to read this. It's mind-blowing. It's all in the scriptures. So God heard his prayer. So I took from that, God hears our prayer the moment we pray it. But just because you ain't seeing nothing happening don't mean God ain't doing nothing about it. God, you think God is delaying it because you don't see it. Planting gonna come up through that ground because we don't see it. But we got to patiently wait and trust. Patiently wait and trust. Okay, God, I know you heard my prayer. So, you know, I'm just going to wait for you to answer it. Or maybe you have answered it. Maybe something is holding it up. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, verse 18, and verse 19, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. But out of it, Adam, out of the ground wast thou taken, for thus thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So that means we're nothing but dirt. That's all we are. We're made out of dirt. That's why when we die, we get in that casket, that body eventually breaks down, those bones break down, and they go right back to dirt, dust. It may take a while because that casket is closed up. There's no air getting to it or whatever, but eventually there's going to be dirt and dust in that casket because that's what we're made from. Now, some people speed up the process, and they just go ahead and get cremated. And they get burned up, but guess what? They go back to dust. They go back to dust. From dust we were made, and from dust shall we return. And this is talking about the body. The body. Remember, when Adam was made, God created Adam from the dust of the earth, but then it says God breathed into his nostrils. God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. So man is a three-part being like God is a three-part being. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. He possesses a soul. See, the bodies will always go back to the dust of the earth from which it was made. The two things we have to be concerned about is the spirit and the soul. Because the spirit and the soul are always going to live. They're always going to live. That gives me great hope that they're going to live forever. But the great hope I have most importantly is that I've accepted Jesus, so I know where they're going to live at. We're going to live in heaven in the presence of God, and God's going to give us another body, a glorified body. See how it's all making sense? That's why you got to get into this word. Read it. Because it makes sense. God will open up your mind and your eyes. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll give you truth. The rest of the world can't discern this. They don't understand the spirit and the soul. They don't understand spiritual things. They can't begin to understand spiritual things because the Spirit of God is the only one who can open up your mind and enlighten your mind. God said, renew your mind with the word of God. God told us what, remember, body, soul, and spirit. Three parts. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Wouldn't it make sense if we made in the image of God, if he's of three parts, that we would be of three parts? We made in his image and his likeness. See how it all adds up? So the ground is cursed because of Adam, what Adam did. So it all goes back to the birth. I said, God, there's kind of a little pattern here. You know, Adam was made from the dust of the ground, right? And now the reason Eve's birthing process is cursed because all humans going to come, the only way a human can come to this earth is through the womb of a woman. That's it. The only way a human can come to this earth is through the womb of a woman. That's it. They have to put on what I call their earth suit. Their earth suit. They come through the womb of a woman. They're born into the earth. Now they are human beings. A human being. Right. Animals. They're born too. Whether it's a chicken hatched from an egg or a bird hatched from an egg or another animal giving birth, the same way. Birthing process. Birthing process. Let's keep going. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So that when I want you to read that again, I want you to see what they're doing is defining the word Eve, mother of all living. That's literally what Eve means. The Adam, when Adam called his wife's name Eve, he named her Eve because she's the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats in and clothe them? But wait a minute. Now, look, God made coats of skin. It makes you wonder, when they were naked, see, we got skin on our body here. I wonder how they look without skin. Because in their eyes, based on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were naked. So God had to make them coats of skins and clothe them. They were hiding from God. Because they was naked, but they were always naked. The thing is, when they ate, I believe, this is my theory, don't take this for the word, but I believe that when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I believe that their spiritual eyes shut and their physical eyes opened. That's why they recognized they were naked. See, they was walking in the spirit. In the cool of the day, they were walking with God. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, walk in the spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit. I believe that when they ate from that tree, their spiritual eyes opened. I mean, their spiritual eyes shut and their physical eyes opened. And then they became aware, oh, whoa, we're naked. But at any rate, when they did that, the death cycle began. Now, God said, in the day that they eat of that tree, they shall surely die. And most people will say, well, wait a minute. They didn't die when they ate of that tree. But that's why I go back to share with you. We're assuming physical death. We're assuming that death means, you know, a person dies. They're gone. They don't exist on the earth no more. But when you go back to the Greek and the Hebrew of that word death means to separate from. But it never means non-existence. We will always exist somewhere. So what God was saying, the day you eat from this tree, you're going to separate from me. You're going to separate from me. That's why they was hiding from God, because they were separated from God. Before they ate from that tree, they was always joined to God. They was walking in the cool of the day with God in the garden. But they separated from him. And also the death cycle, the physical death cycle started too. The physical separation started because now they are eventually going to physically die because they done flipped the switch on. They done flipped the switch on now. There's a time limit on that physical body. But see, I don't believe there was a time limit on that spiritual body they were in. But when they ate from that tree, everything changed. Everything changed. Let's keep going. Unto Adam, also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them? God made coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Stop right there. Read that slow. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. Us. The man has become as one of us. Do y'all see that? He didn't say the man has become like me. The man has become as one of us. Who's us? Who's us? See? Us is God the Father. Us is God the Son. Us is God the Holy Spirit. The man has become as one of us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why it says us there. See? That's why it says us there. Because all three of them were there during creation. The scriptures bear that out. In John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. See, Jesus is the manifested Word of God. You guys got to understand. Jesus was there in the beginning. And the Holy Spirit definitely was there in the beginning. We saw that in creation. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So when God says us, he's talking to the Son and the Holy Spirit and himself. He's referring to us. That's what he says. Now man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Meaning God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they know good and they knew evil. They knew both of it. But God never intended for man to know that. That's why he said, do not eat from the tree, watch this, of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why you got to study the scriptures, because you don't hear a lot about, you just hear about the tree, but you don't understand. There's two trees. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there's the tree of life. And I believe the tree of life is what would have given them eternal life, which means they would have lived forever. But watch what God does to prevent that, because he don't want them to live forever in the state that they're in. Because now they've sinned against God. And God says, no, I can't let y'all live forever in that state. Man, it'll be a mess if I let y'all live forever in that state. So watch what God does. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, verse 22, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. There it is right there. If he ate from the tree of life, he would live forever. Meaning that tree would have given him eternal life. And he would live forever. So God says, All right. Behold, a man has become one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So God said, I got to get you out of the Garden of Eden first. But see, you done messed around and ate from the tree that I told you couldn't eat from. God, it's interesting. God didn't have a problem with them eating from the tree of life, because they were in the proper state, which means they didn't know the knowledge of good and evil. So they could live forever in the state they was in, walking in the garden in the cool of the day with God, walking in the spirit all the time, not needing no coats of skin, being naked without knowing it. Because this was God created them in the perfect state. There was no death cycle. There was no separation from God. They was always joined to God. The way we're trying to get back to right now. Wouldn't it be nice to be always joined to God? We wouldn't be so concerned about the cares of the world. But one day we will be joined back to God. And we'll be in his presence. And that will be the state that God initially created us to be in. That's what he's always wanted us to be. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden. Watch what God does now. Watch what he does. He placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. But God instantly put some protection around the tree of life, because he can't have them trying to eat from that tree now, because their state has changed. They're in a sinful state. So God instantly had to protect that tree, cherubims. See, God is not us. A cherubim is not a human, trust me. People say, well, that is an angel. But what is an angel? An angel is not a human, right? And now I'm not saying an angel can't appear as a human, but I am saying that the being of an angel is not a human. And why would I say that? Because later on in the Bible it says that, be careful, you may have entertained angels unawares without knowing that you've entertained an angel that has sort of now appeared as a human, but you don't know they're an angel because you see them as a human, but they're really an angel. So they can appear as a human, but that doesn't mean they are human. See, a lot of this stuff, we don't look at the Bible from a standpoint of aliens and stuff like that. But God is other. God is not like us. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you really begin to look at the scriptures, they bear all this stuff out. Nobody knows what a cherubim is. This is an angel. But what's an angel? And trust me, those angels look like these pictures that we see, that man has a depiction of them. Look at the scriptures. It'll tell you exactly. But God said, for he drove out the man and placed them at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way, and to keep the way of the tree of life, which means I can't let nobody eat from this tree of life now. Now watch this. Here's where some confusion is coming into play. That's why you got to understand the scriptures. Remember I told you, when you see the word man, that doesn't necessarily always mean male. Man is human. Human has two sexes. It has a male and a female. Or a man and a woman. Woe meaning out of man, which means he came out of man. You got to break these words down. So in this case, when God drove man from the garden, he's talking about both Adam and Eve. He's talking about the human species. He couldn't allow them, either one of them, to stay in the garden, because if one of them stayed in that garden and they messed around and tripped up and went over to the tree of life, then they would have ate something from the tree of life and they would have eternally been in that sinful, fallen state that they were in because they had sinned against the Almighty God. And God could not allow that to happen. So he had to drive them out of the Garden of Eden, and he had to take an angel called a cherubim with a flaming sword. It's interesting, a flaming sword, a flaming sword, a flaming sword. That, there's a mystery there, because the word of God, it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There was a flaming sword along with the cherubim that flaming sword turned every way, which means it turned up and down, sideways, angle, whatever. It turned in every possibility, meaning if somebody tried to come close to that tree, they probably would have gotten damaged. Let's just say that. Verse 24, so he drove out the man and he placed him at the east of the garden of Eden. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, the first thing also I noticed that was interesting is when God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, he gave him a job. He said, you're going to till the ground from which you were taken. Means you're going to break up the ground. Now it's time for you to start farming. You get ready to start farming immediately. And by the way, I told you when you start farming, I told you up in verse 18 that you're going to eat from this ground all the days of your life. In sorrow shalt thou eat from the ground all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Meaning you're going to have a hard time planting. The ground ain't going to bring it forth easy like it would have had you not sinned. Now the ground is cursed, so you're going to have to work real hard to make that ground bring forth food. Chapter 4. Adam knew Eve, his wife. Adam knew Eve, his wife. When I read that, I said, wait a minute, God. Of course Adam knew Eve. I mean, they were the only two humans on the earth, right?
But what do you mean Adam knew Eve? That makes no sense. It's no, look at that word new. Go back to your Greek and your Hebrew and look up the word new. New means to have a relationship with. See, if I know you, I have a relationship with you. I had a time kind of swallowing that. I said, Lord, help me to understand this a little bit more now, okay? But you say out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So give me some more scriptures around this, like that's kind of similar to clarify what. He said, remember I said that verse that says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you never knew me? What he was saying was, you never had a relationship with me. See, God is a relationship God. He wants us to develop a relationship. When you have a relationship with a person, you know them, okay? That means if somebody, if you have a relationship with a person, if somebody came up to you and said, they said, well, such and such said this and such said that, you'd be like, oh, no, they didn't say that. You lying. I know they didn't say that. Why do you know they didn't say that? Because I know them. I know their character. I know their nature. I know they wouldn't say or do anything like that. So you are not being truthful when you say that. I know them. I've developed a relationship with them. We talk. We break bread together. We pray together. We have conversations about stuff together. I know them. See, God wants us to know him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. So when it says Adam knew Eve, Adam had a relationship with Eve. And watch this, an intimate relationship with Eve. God wants us to have intimacy with him. And y'all say, oh, now that sounds kind of crazy. Everybody thinks intimacy is sex. No, that's not what I'm saying. Intimacy is getting to know a person, getting to know their nature, their character, understanding who they are. All right? That's a form of intimacy that I'm speaking of. Now, in this case, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived. They are talking about not only intimacy and relationship, but also intimacy, sexual intimacy, because, of course, she got impregnated, and that's how she's able to conceive. But that's a closeness. That's a knowing. That's intimacy. God wants us to be intimate with him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to tell him our hurts, our pains, our sorrows, our good times, our bad times. He wants us to tell him how we feel about things. If we're angry, if we're sad, if we're upset, he wants to know everything. He wants to get to know us, and we need to get to know him. And as you get to know him, you draw closer and closer and closer to him. And how do you do that? You do it through his word. You get in these scriptures, and you pray, and you talk to him. Father, I'm not feeling good today. I don't know what's going on, but my boss is driving me nuts. I mean, I'm trying to really, you know, understand what's going on with him. Father, just bless him. I don't know what he's going through. Probably something going on at home. Probably he's having a hard time with something. But I don't want to be his doormat today, Lord. I don't want him, you know, stepping all over on me and talking to me in any kind of way. So I'm asking you to bless him and keep my heart right, because I'm starting to go into the flesh and get angry and getting upset. I know that's not your will for me, but I'm just being real with you. I'm keeping it 100. I'm getting mad. That's why I'm coming before you to tell you. You gave me these emotions, I know, but I got to use them in the right way. And right now, I'm not trying to use them in the right way because he's got me feeling some kind of way. So I need you to bless him and keep my heart clear so that I may not make a mistake with my mouth or my actions and do the wrong thing that's not pleasing in your sight. And chapter 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and she bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bear his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Two different occupations. Look at that. One is a keeper of sheep. Now, today, a keeper of sheep would be considered a what? A shepherd. A shepherd. It's almost like a pastor who watches over his flock, a shepherd. So you see from their very names, you can almost tell where this is going. One's a keeper of sheep, which means he watches over his flock to make sure he protects his flock, nothing happens to him. And the other is a tiller of the ground. He's a hard worker. He works the ground to try to bring forth food. Now remember, the ground was cursed by God because of what Adam and Eve sinned. So Cain is the one out there tilling the ground. He's the one who's working so hard. In the sweat of the day, he's got to work hard to break that ground up, try to plant those seeds and try to get it to grow so it can make some food. I have much respect for farmers, too, after reading all of this, the food supply. But Abel, of course, was a keeper of sheep. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So over time, these kids are growing up. They got their occupation. One is a keeper of the sheep. He's watching over the flock. And the other is a tiller of the ground. He's responsible for plants, planting the food. Two different occupations define these two kids who are now going to grow up to be grown. And Abel, okay, so in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Underline that. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Which means whatever the ground produced, Cain took a portion of that and he brought it as an offering unto the Lord. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Okay? Underline what Abel brought. Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. There's one word that makes a distinction between these two offerings that makes one more pleasing than the other. There's one word in those scriptures. I'm going to read it very slowly, and you're going to hear it this time. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel brought of the firstlings, that's the key word, the firstlings of his flock and thereof. Now here's the difference. The difference is the first. What do I mean? When you give God the first, you honor him. When you give God the first, you honor him. And every Cain brought an offering, but it wasn't the first fruit of the ground. It was just the fruit of the ground, which means he reaped all this stuff that came up from the ground, but instead of him giving the first portion to God, he just gave a portion to God. But Abel, on the other hand, when his sheep were born, the first ones that came out, he gave to God. And God knew where their hearts were in that very offering. Praise God. God could see where their hearts were at from the offering. Lord Jesus. See, we got to learn to give God the first of everything because it's all his anyway. But when we honor him, when we give him the first, not just an offering. And that's in everything. It's not just in your money, time. It's in your talent. I'm going to give you an example.
You wake up in the morning, God just gave you 24 more hours to live. As soon as you wake up, as soon as your feet hit that ground, you need to be on your knees thanking God. You need to give him that first of that day, the first time of that day. Thank you for waking me up. I just give you praise and honor and glory. Father, thank you so much for giving me the breath of life, allowing me to breathe, to inhale your presence and exhale your power another day. That's the first. That's the first. Thank you for giving me another day to live. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. We got to learn to be grateful. And you be grateful when you give them the first. We ain't going to even go into your tithes or your offerings. God gave you that job. God gave you that job. Let me tell you something. The government get theirs out first. They ain't waiting for you to think about sending them that them taxes. They grabbing it as soon as that check hits. Are they better than God? Are they better than God? What about your food? Lord, thank you for this meal. It's almost like we need to, how I'm trying to say. And let's go back to the scriptures. Because that's the distinction here. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit. It didn't say the first fruit. He brought the fruit. If I could have squeezed a little word in there called first, it would have made all the difference in the world for Cain. In the process of time, it came to pass that God brought that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstfruits of his flock and of the fat thereof. Not only did he give him the first, but he gave him the excess, the fat thereof, whatever. He gave him the stuff that was beyond, that was there. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. Verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offerings, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell, which means he got angry. He was upset that God was more pleased with his brother's offering than his offering. See, God got a peek at their heart from their actions. God got a peek at their heart. See, God already knew. But he got it at their heart from their actions. Their actions, you know, sometimes our actions speak louder than our words. I always tell people, children don't do what you say, but they do what you do. You have to be very careful when you're raising a child, what you're doing around them, because they're watching. They're constantly watching you. And they'll call you out, too. You can sit over here doing one thing, and then when you're in front of your friends, you're saying something else. They'll say, well, Dad, but you yourself don't even do that. But Mom, you yourself don't even do that. Be quiet, boy. You're embarrassing me. No, he's just telling the truth. Or she's just telling the truth. Because they're always watching. So you got to walk the talk. Not talk and walk, but walk the talk. If you're going to say it, you better be doing it. And that's for all of us, including me. Understand, this ain't coming from me. It's coming through me. God ministering to y'all, but y'all also ministering to me. And I'm getting blown away because it's coming out of my mouth, but I'm hearing it too. I know a lot of y'all may not believe that, but that there is in the Bible a situation where that actually happens. See, there's nothing new under the sun, okay? There's nothing new under the sun. That's why you got to keep reading it. Further down in the Bible, there's a situation where, you know, they ask, Jesus asked one of his disciples, whom do men say who I am? And some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah. And then he turns to Peter and he says, Jesus, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it came through Peter, but it didn't come from Peter because Jesus turned around and said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed it to you. So see, God can speak through you, and it'll be your first time hearing it. That's another sermon. Praise God. But unto Cain and to his offerings he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, see, God recognized, oh, Cain, you know, Cain's a little pissed about this. He's a little angry. Why are you wroth? Why are you angry? And why is your countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, if you do the right thing and your heart is right, you're going to be accepted just like your brother was. And if you don't, if thou doest not well, verse 7, Genesis 4, verse 7, and if you do, and if thou doest not well, sin lies the door. Sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. See? When we're not honoring God, sin is there. Sin is lying at the door. Because we're not giving God honor, so, you know, sin's going to try to take us over. Which means it's not too far behind because we're not honoring God. And it's interesting, their occupations, their names define their occupations, and their occupations define their actions, and their actions define their destinies. Think about that. Think about that. We got to give God the first. We got to give God the first of everything. Of everything. It all belongs to him anyway. But that gives honor to him. And you give him the first. Many years ago, I was in the Word and was really beginning to dig and dig. And I got a revelation from the Spirit of God, you know, about, you know, it was talking about tithing and talking about the tenth, and I was like, okay, Lord, I need to give a tenth of my house to you. So at that point, I created this little study room where I dedicated the room to God. It's literally underneath my deck. And I, you know, I'm just trying to work. I'm trying to work this word. I'm trying to do what the book says and honor God. So for years, I just go in that room and I just sit down and read my Bible and study and meditate and pray. In that room, one-tenth of the square footage of this house. Now, mind you, I didn't realize that room was one-tenth of the square footage of this house until I measured it. I just chose that room. But I wanted to honor God because I'm grateful for him giving us this home. This is a regular house. It ain't nothing big and fancy and all that, but it's a home. It's a house that God has allowed us to have, to keep a roof over our head, to raise a family in. And I'm grateful for that. Very grateful. So grateful. You know, my wife and I was able to raise our daughter in here, who's now married, 25 years old. One of the other things, when my daughter came out of my wife at the hospital, and I got to hold her, I held her up before God. I said, God, now, this is your child. I dedicate her life back to you. I might be her daddy, but you are her father. And you'll be a better father than I ever could be. And I dedicated her life as a child, our first child, and then our first and only child that came out of my wife. I dedicated her back to God. See? I don't know if I had the understanding of it, but like I do now, but now I see, even from reading this, the first is everything to God. It's everything because you honor him. You're like, God, I know I'm blessed with this because of you. So, you know, even in creation, God took a day of rest. That day is dedicated. That day should be dedicated to God. A mystery, see, when you really honor God. I've said this before, I'll say it again, and I, you know, people might laugh at me or whatever. There's a little restaurant here in Atlanta called Chick-fil-A. It was started in Atlanta over in a little place called Hapeville, Georgia, which is a little bit further right outside of Atlanta, back in the 70s. Sell chicken sandwiches and all of that, chicken nuggets and all that. The one thing that they have done since its inception was never open on Sunday. Now, I don't know what denomination or whatever, religion or whatever they are, but I do know they honor God by taking that day of rest, just like he did during creation. And they did it for their employees. They just won't open on Sunday. This is Chick-fil-A. Here we are, fast forward some, that was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 10, 20, 2000, 30, 40, some 40, 50 years later, this one little small fast food restaurant is now all over the country, and it's a billion dollar business. And they wonder how this restaurant got to be that way. I honestly believe that by honoring God, by not opening, their business was blessed. Everybody likes Chick-fil-A, no matter what state you're in. Now, McDonald's has been around much longer than Chick-fil-A. McDonald's has probably been around, I don't know, probably at least 80 years. I don't know. I think it was like the 50s. Let's see, 60, 70, 80, 90, 2000, 2010, 2020, 70 or 80 years now, 70, I'd say. Once again, a billion-dollar restaurant, but they was open on Sunday. But Chick-fil-A did it in a shorter period of time than McDonald's. And I guarantee you Chick-fil-A will sustain it, and Chick-fil-A has outlasted all the rest of them. Some of them are even closing now. But the point I'm trying to make is that they honor God by remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, one of the commandments. But honoring God is so vital. It's so vital. And I'm grateful for you, Lord, for just allowing us to give this message. Verse 8, and Canaan, and I'm gonna conclude right here, and we'll pick back up next time because we're learning things from Genesis. We're learning things from Genesis. We're going to learn a lot through Genesis because the Word of God says, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, which is in the end times. We're going to learn a lot about what's going to happen at the end from the beginning. And the beginning book here is Genesis. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. We're going to stop right there because we're going to stop at verse 7, and we'll pick back up at verse 8 because we're going to see what happens when Cain, because Cain is upset because God didn't accept his offering. I mean, God didn't have respect for his offering. He accepted it, but he didn't have the same respect for it as he did from Abel. Now, Cain got mad, countenance and fallen. Sin is lying at his door. And sin's about to take over Cain. And you will see what's going to happen. We're going to experience the first murder in the Bible. The very first one. And it all stemmed from anger. And sin took over, took advantage of that anger, and he got to feeling some kind of way, and then he got to acting some kind of way. First, he got to thinking some kind of way, feeling some kind of way, then acting some kind of way. I'm putting it like that because that's the way it happens. Starts with a thought. That thought becomes a seed. Then it starts getting us starting to feel some kind of way with our emotions. Then the emotions get stirred up, and then we act on it. All the sin comes that same way. Every sin we commit is going to start with that thought, that bad thought, that seed of that thought. And we got to learn to control these bad thoughts that come into our head. Just because it comes doesn't mean it has to overcome. Just because the package comes through the door don't mean we got to sign for the package. As a matter of fact, the way you reject those thoughts is you open your mouth and you speak the word of God. But the only way you can speak the word or speak the scriptures, you've got to know the scriptures. And the only way you got to know the scriptures, you got to open this book up and begin to read, meditate, and pray and renew your mind with the word of God. See, that's that soulish word, that soulish. Man is a spirit, he lives in the body, he possesses a soul. We know the body is the flesh, right? The spirit is who we really are. And then the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, or your thinker, your feeler, and your chooser. That's where we make our decisions. That's where we have our emotions and our feelings. That's where those thoughts come in. That's why God wants us to renew our mind with his word, because that soulless realm is where we – Satan can attack us two places. He can attack us in our body, and he can attack us in our soul. But he cannot attack us in our spirit, because the spirit has been sealed off by the Holy Spirit when we accepted Jesus. That's why he says, offer up your body as a living sacrifice, holy and blameless and acceptable to God. That's your most reasonable service. Basically, take care of your body. Eat the right foods, get the right rest, exercise. Take care of your body. This is the house we live in. What about the soul? Renew your mind with the word of God. What's the word of God? Get into those scriptures. Meditate, pray, learn to understand, live them out. Do the book. Sealed off by the Holy Spirit. But he can't get us to our spirit, and the spirit is the real us. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. He possesses a soul. See how it all comes together? The scriptures are so powerful, man. When you get in this book, oh, my God, it changes your life, literally. So that's why I'm taking the time out now to teach it line upon line and precept upon precept so you can get an understanding. In all, Proverbs says, in all you're getting, get understanding. So when you get understanding, it can't be taken away from you. And then when you go to a church or you begin to read on your own or you hear another man or woman of God ministering, will begin to make sense to you. It won't just, you won't just get inspired and feel good. You will understand what God is trying to say to you in your particular situation in your life, and you will get answers and solutions to problems. You'll know what to do. You know what to do. Okay, that happened before, Lord. Okay. You said, oh, wait a minute, I just heard, you said to pray for those in authority over you. Why? So that I can lead a quiet and peaceful life? Well, I ain't got no peace because I'm not praying. So if I want my peace, I need to start praying. And who am I praying for? Those in authority over you. Well, who's in authority over me? My boss, our government, policemen, these people who are authority on you, you need to pray for them. Because if you don't pray for them, ain't going to be no peace. As we're starting to see in our country right now. We're going directly against authority that God has ordained. Like it or don't like it, if we ain't praying for them, ain't going to be no peace. No peace. If God, you know, all authority comes from God. If God ordains that authority, we're to pray for it. Now, if that authority is not doing what it's supposed to do, God will simply remove it. They'll remove them. God allows people to be placed in authority over you. He allows it. We honor him by saying, okay, I'm going to pray for them. But if they're not doing the right thing, God will simply remove it because he holds the heart of the king in his hand and he can turn it to a fro. It is God who lifteth up, and it is God who bringeth down. Don't get it twisted. God is always in control. Even when it looks like he's not, he is. And that's why he's God. And there's none like it. But we got to honor him. We got to obey him. We got to give him our first. I believe for some of you all who are listening on the phone tonight, if you would take this one principle and give God your first, your whole life would change. I challenge you to begin to put God first in everything. Give him the first 24 hours of your life when you wake up in the morning. Give him the first of your time, of your talents. If you got some talents and you want to volunteer to help the kingdom of God out, give him some time with your talents. Use what he's given you. I'm going to computers. I go and fix some computers somewhere with somebody. You know, from a carpenter, I go and build something for somebody, or at least assist in building, use my talents, volunteer. Because I want to honor God. God, I'm so grateful for you giving me these talents. What can I do for your kingdom to help build your kingdom? I got a church over here, so we need somebody to come over here and take it. Okay, I got it. Well, how much you going to pay? You ain't got to pay me nothing. Give me the opportunity to plant the seed to honor my God who has blessed me with these talents. I will gladly do it. God sees that. He's like, okay. Okay, he got it. He got it now. Giving me his first. He's honoring me. He knows I control it all. He knows. Then when you're in a situation or circumstance and you need some help or some protection, the answer will come quick. God will use whoever, whenever, however, whyever, concerning whatever, to get you help in your time of need because you have honored him. You've honored him. Now he knows where your heart is at. He'll know where your heart is at, see? That goes back, and we're going to go back in this honor. You'll see it when Abraham got ready to sacrifice Isaac up on the mountain. Once again, that was his only son. His only son. Not just his first, his only. That made him even more special. It was his first son because it was his only son. And he got ready to sacrifice, and God said, now I know. Basically, now I know where your heart is at. Your actions have shown me your heart. Not that God can look on the inside of your heart and already know your heart. He already knows. But your actions going to even confirm it even more. So, praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you for this message. Thank you for allowing us to dig a little bit deeper into Genesis. Father, we're beginning to see mysteries and things that we haven't seen before. You're beginning to show us, to give us wisdom and understanding of your word. Heavenly Father, I pray for all of those who have heard this message, that they will begin to take it, including myself. And I pray that you will manifest yourself and show them that you see their heart. And they will know that you're real. That you're just as real as we're sitting here today listening to this word on this phone. I pray, Lord God, for those who don't know Jesus right now. I pray that right now is a tugging on their heart saying, I want to know this God. I want to have a relationship with this God. I want to honor him. I see what is happening. I see how he loves and delivers. I understand now. I understand now what he's saying when he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You never knew me. You never knew me. You never had a relationship with me. You never got intimate with me. You never told me your wants, your needs, your desires. You never told me when you was hurting, when you was in pain. You never came to me when there was a problem. You tried to figure it out on your own. You went to somebody else to try to get help from them instead of coming to me. And I have all the answers that you need. I need you to develop a relationship with me, to talk to me, to tell me your greatest pains and your greatest joys. I need you to talk to me in your private time. Don't feel like you're not talking to one. God hears you all the time. He always hears you. He's listening to this message right now as I'm speaking and you guys are listening. He knows everybody on the other end of this phone. He knows what country you're in. He knows what you're going through. He knows the condition of your heart. He knows whether you need healing or deliverance or safety or peace. Some of you all have gotten a bad doctor's report. He knows that. But I'm here to tell you, he is the doctor, not a doctor. He can heal you completely. And it'll be in the most oddest ways. He might tell you to go jump in that river and put some mud on this spot, and when you come up, it's going to be gone. And you may think, no matter how foolish that is, do it. I dare you. Feel that's what God is telling you, do it. Don't trust me, trust God. Doctor then gave you a bad report saying you're going to be gone in a few days. No, I'm not. Ask God. Say, God,
You heard the doctor's report. What must I do? I want to live. I got more work to do on this earth. I want to glorify your name. So for those of you who don't know Jesus, I'm challenging you right now to bow your heads, close your eyes and bow your heads and pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, I've heard this message tonight. I believe it. There's something different about it. I heard something tonight that I've never heard before. Now I see and I know that you are real. You're not like us. You're other, but you love us unconditionally. I see and know that honoring you first is a principle that I need to operate in. But first and foremost, Lord, I need to know your son, Jesus. I need to accept him as my Lord and Savior. So right now, this day, this moment, I pray and I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you right now as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you became sin for me, that I might become. Thank you for sacrificing your life for mine. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I thank you for being raised from the dead on the third day. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe that you are sitting at this very moment on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding for me. I believe as a result of your intercessory, that's why I am here praying this prayer right now. Come, Lord Jesus, into my heart. Help me and make me new again. And I thank you for making me born again this day. I give you all glory, all honor, and all praise, Father. And I thank you from this day forward, my life will never be the same again. I am all yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. I pray for those of you all who have prayed that prayer. I say welcome to the family of God. The most important thing you can do right now is get you a Bible and begin to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and read it. And if you're near a church and you know someone who goes to a church somewhere, find a church that teaches the word. Go to that church and get under that man or woman of God and begin to listen and learn the scriptures and the word of God. And I also pray that you continue to listen to the Prayer News Network. For this is where God has led you to be, to get an understanding of his word. There are many different speakers that come on every night on this network talking about many different subjects, but they all point to Jesus. They all point to the Son of God. So continue to listen, continue to pray, and continue to bless God's holy name. And remember, give him your first in all things. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for this night. Thank you for every person that's on this line. Continue to bless them, not only throughout this night, but throughout this day and every day henceforth for the rest of their lives. I give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, Holy Ghost. Amen, amen tonight. Amen. Did not our hearts burn on tonight? We just give God thanks. We give God praise.
Praise God. Sister, are you
amen.
There?
Can you hear me?
Well, praise God.
Unmuted.
If you are there, we
praise
can't
the
hear
Lord.
You.
Yes, I was muted
are.
Again. Praise God. Amen. But we
praise
give
God
thanks. We give God praise on tonight. for this word. We bless the Lord, people of God. Just precious, precious, precious jewels coming right there out of Genesis. And we give God thanks and praise on tonight. I know you got some nuggets on tonight. My God, so much, so much. I tell you, as I first stated, we can read the word today, tomorrow, amen, and the next day. God can give a revelation out of something that you've read many, many times. So we give God thanks and we give God praise for the revelation of the word on tonight. We thank God for you, man of God. We just truly, truly thank God for you for, as always, availing yourself on this Sabbath night. Amen. And availing yourself on the Sabbath. How about that? Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we bless God. Amen. Jesus, I'm telling you, people, God, so much came out even tonight. Amen, Jesus. But we're not going to hold you tonight. Amen. Because when you know how it is once we get started. Amen. Reflecting on the word as you reflect. Amen. God be breathing as you reflect. God is breathing. But we want you to get what you got on tonight. We want you to can it, people of God. We want you to get a copy of the broadcast on tonight. As always, it's absolutely free. It's absolutely free. And the number to get your copy is 912-257-3918. And again, that's 912-257-3918. Also, you can reach out to us, people of God, at 678-608-234. Again, that's 678-608-7234. Amen. Glory to God. Those that are listening internationally, amen, Jesus, we just want to let you know you can reach out to us via WhatsApp. That number is 678-608-7234. Again, 678-608-7234. Amen. Glory to God. It looks like I've lost my internet connection again. Amen. Glory to God. But we do give God thanks and praise on tonight for this word, man of God. We thank God for you, again, for availing yourself to come and bless the people of God here and all over the world, globally. We thank God. Amen. We thank God. Listen, people of God, we bless God for the word. And I tell you, what you don't know, amen, is that there are people that are all over the world that are downloading these messages. Man of God, people are finding value in this word. So we don't take it lightly that we're here. We don't take it lightly that God is speaking to his people. But people of God, I'm telling you, some people are not getting this kind of word, amen, that comes across here on the Prayer News Network Global. So we thank God, amen, for each of you. We thank God for you, people of God, that are listening internationally. Again, we pray that you are blessed. We pray that you are blessed by the word. We pray that you are blessed by the word. Amen. Glory be to God. So tonight, man of God, again, we thank God for you. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise again on tonight. We thank you for your servant. We thank you for the word that you've given, the word that you've spoken, which has been declared into the hearing of your people. Father, we thank you tonight. Father, we ask you on tonight, oh God, to let it fall on good ground. Let it fall on good ground that it may produce a harvest, oh God, that will give you glory in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you, oh God, for this word that will go down in the very root, in the very soul of your people. We thank you tonight for the manifestation. We're thanking you tonight, glory be to God, that we shall not be forgetful hearers in the precious name of Jesus. Now, Father, we're asking that you would bless your servant on tonight. Bless your servant in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we're asking you tonight to meet his every need, his every desire. Father, we're asking that you do it unto him. Father, we're asking that you open doors, God, those doors that have been shut. We're asking, oh God, that you would open the doors, cause the doors to swing open in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we're asking you on today to bless your servant.
blessings going out, blessings coming in the precious name of Jesus. Father, bless this family. Bless this ministry, we do pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Bless his children. Bless his seed, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight, and we ask you, oh God, to cause your face to shine upon your servant, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, bless this ministry. Bless and breathe upon his ministry, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, for this we give you thanks. For this we give you praise. We thank you for your peace. Cause your peace to rest upon him. Give him peace, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for your precious peace. Thank you for meeting his every need and his every desire. Father, for this we give you praise. We give you glory. Father, hide him behind your precious cross. Cover him in your shed blood, we pray. In thy precious name, Jesus, we forbid backlash of the enemy. In thy precious name, oh God, we forbid retaliation on tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On tonight, glory be to God. Amen. Man of God, again, we give God thanks. We give God praise for you on tonight. Amen, Jesus. And at this time, glory to God, we're going to turn it back over to you, man of God, for final remarks and for the blessing of the line. You have the platform, sir.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Father, thank you for just, thank you for this teaching. Thank you for all of the people who are on the line who heard this message. I pray that they will take this message and they will use it and their lives will be changed. Heavenly Father, I ask right now that you bless each and every one that has heard this message. Bless them on their going out and bless them in their coming in, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that those who have gotten saved tonight will come to know you even more intimately. And those who are already saved will continue to develop an intimate relationship with you and tell you absolutely everything that is going on in their life in their secret time with you. And Heavenly Father, I pray that they got a revelation of the first, giving you the first in everything. And I give you all glory and honor and praise, and I ask that you continue to bless them everywhere they go in everything they do. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you will continue to guide them and protect them and comfort them in all their ways and direct their path and make it straight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you again, man of God. God bless you tonight, people of God, again. Amen. Certainly we will get this broadcast out to you. Amen. We do ask that you We thank you for your patience, amen, Jesus, as we've been delayed in getting our broadcast out, amen. But we do have the track record, amen, and we know what you've requested. So just give us a moment, amen. We've been quite busy, but people of God, we do want to get this broadcast out into your hand so that you can also, amen, share it with someone else. God bless you tonight, people of God. That does conclude tonight's broadcast. Amen. And we will look to see you on tomorrow night. Amen. God bless you tonight, people of God, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.